And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. And how are you?
I'm fine. Getting ready.
We are getting ready. Rosh Hashanah is in a week.
Yeah.
So it's busy times, but good times.
So today we will not deal with Parshat HaShavua. We will talk about Rosh Hashanah and the costumes.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So most people know what Rosh Hashanah is, you know, the head of the new year, and so on and so forth. I wanted to try and just go through how is Rosh Hashanah observed, the day preceding Rosh Hashanah, what we do, as well as the Rosh Hashanah Eve, the meal that we do, and the special customs that we do with that as well.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the 2 days of festival of Rosh Hashanah is observed on the first and the second day of Tishrei, which is this year, the 24th and the 25th of September. And Rosh Hashanah literally means the head of the year. It is the beginning of the Jewish year, as well as the anniversary of the creation of Adam and Eve. It is the birthday of mankind, which really highlights special relationship between God and humanity. And not everyone knows, but really the primary theme of the day of Rosh Hashanah is our acceptance of God as our king. And the Kabbalists teach that the renewal of God's desire for the world and thus the continued existence of the universe depends upon us. We accept God as our king, and God is aroused once again with the desire to continue creating the world for one more year. Much of the day obviously is spent in synagogue, and God not only desires to have a world with people, but God wants an intimate relationship with each one of us. And in addition to the collective aspect of Rosh Hashanah, each man and woman personally asks God to accept that they accept his kingship, creating this bond that we are your people and you are our king. And we ask him that he should give us everything that we need. Now, the central observance of Rosh Hashanah is the sounding of the shofar, the ram's horn.
Yeah.
And the shofar is sounded on both days of Rosh Hashanah, unless the first day falls on Shabbat, then we only blow it on the second day. And the sounding of the shofar really represents, among other things, the trumpet blast of the people's coronation of their king. The cry of the shofar is also a call to repentance. For not only is Rosh Hashanah the anniversary of the man's first sin and his repentance, and serves as well as the first of the 10 days of repentance, which will end on Yom Kippur. Now, interesting enough, the day of Yom Kippur. Well, let's backtrack one second. Saturday night. This Saturday night is the night that we start Lichot.
Exactly.
The series of prayers which we say, which, you know, ask forgiveness and accepting God as the king and so on and so forth, culminating with the climax, the day of Rosh Hashanah. And we will say Sichot Sunday, Saturday night, and then Monday, and then Tuesday, and then Wednesday. The day, a lot of people don't know this, but the day of Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, in other words, Wednesday, the day of the eve of Rosh Hashanah, the shofar is not sounded. Every day in the month preceding Rosh Hashanah, we sound the shofar every day. The day of Rosh Hashanah, we do not. And the reason why we do not is in order to confuse the Satan.
The devil.
The spiritual prosecutor, as he prepares his case against us, you know, how can you give them this God? They're sinning and this and so on and so on. And so we don't blow the shofar to mix them up. So he doesn't realize and know when Rosh Hashanah is truly really coming. Another phenomenal thing that we do, which just shows us more that God always gives us the opportunity to ask for forgiveness, is the annulment of vows that we do on Wednesday morning, on the day of the eve of Rosh Hashanah. That after the morning prayers, it is customary for everyone to do something which is called Hatarat Nedarim, the annulment of vows. To, you know, repeal certain vows which one has taken upon himself with him knowing, without him knowing, with intent, without intent, that that person should be forgiven, that he should start the day of judgment free of the sin of unfulfilled vows. And then obviously, you know, we start Rosh Hashanah, and then everyone, especially the kids and also the adults as well, wait for the Rosh Hashanah Eve meal. And obviously, you know, we start off the meal the same way as we would start off a Friday night Shabbat. We would make the kiddush over a cup of wine or grape juice. And then we have the symbolic food. Now, we have the new fruit that we eat, but that is eaten on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. And that is the time that sometimes it's a seasonal fruit which a person has not tasted since the season begun, that he's able to then make that bracha, the blessing, and also as well make a bracha of Shechiyanu.
Exactly.
But that's something that is new. And on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, after eating, after drinking your kiddush cup and wine, you then as well have the challah, the bread, that you dip it in honey, asking that God should give us a happy, sweet, healthy year. We then eat certain symbolic foods that is customary to eat on Rosh Hashanah. So once we have the challah, the bread in the honey, we dip a piece of sweet apple into honey, and we make the bracha, and we ask that the God should give us a healthy, happy, sweet new year. As well as when it comes right after that, we eat ahead of a fish, or in the Sephardi communities, they eat the head of the ram, or other kosher animals.
So we'll be the head and not the tail.
That's right. So this symbolizes our desire to be at the head of the class this year. In other words, the head of whatever we need, not the tail. And as well as a pomegranate, one of the seven fruits of Israel, a pomegranate is eaten. And the reason why we eat a pomegranate is symbolizing
the good deeds.
Right, our wish to have a year full of mitzvot, commandments, and good deeds, and a pomegranate is filled with so many different seeds. That, I don't know if you can have a game with your children and ask them to count how many seeds are in a pomegranate. Maybe they'll get to 613. Mm-hmm. But throughout the meal as well, it is customary to eat also a lot of food which are sweet and that have a beautiful taste to it, rather than having bitter or sour things. And a lot of people eat as well something which is called in Yiddish timid, carrot.
Yeah.
And the reason for it is because the Yiddish word for carrot is meren, which really means to multiply. Which that we ask God that everything that God gives us, He should multiply everything that we do in our life. And as well as, you know, the focus is on also, you know, sweet food, desiring to have a sweet year, we also, one thing that we do not eat on Rosh Hashanah, out of all the things, is nuts. Because nuts, the Hebrew word for nuts, is egoz. And is the same as the Hebrew word for sin, chet, the numerical value.
Yeah.
And therefore, we don't want to be et and sin, so we don't eat the nuts.
No nuts.
Right, exactly. So these are certain customs and foods that we do on Rosh Hashanah. One more thing, obviously, is what we do is the day of Rosh Hashanah, we go and we do something which is called Tashlich, where we cast away our sins. And we do that on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, after the afternoon prayer. We go to a lake, a river.
Somewhere that there is running water, so
right,
the sins,
you know,
can go away.
Right, a body that of water that has a fish.
Yeah.
And we recite the Tashlich prayers, where we cast away our sins into the water and leave our old shortcomings behind us. Thus, by doing that, we want to start the year with a clean slate. So that's something that we do as well. So all these things of the customs of what we eat and going into shul and all these things is very important, because that gives us the opportunity to be able to start the year with a good focus and start the year that we should be inscribed and have a healthy, happy, sweet new year with all the blessings that we need for our lives and our families. And with that, you know, I want to wish everyone that everyone's heart's desire and God should grant. And the main thing that everyone should be healthy and happy, and we should have a peaceful year in this coming year.
God willing.
Yep, God willing.
So you want to tell us a little about the preparations in the Shah for the new year?
Absolutely. I mean, we have, you know, we're going to have services Wednesday evening, then 7 o'clock, Rosh Hashanah Thursday as well. And in the morning is all the Rosh Hashanah regular daily prayers starting at 9 o'clock, as well as the shofar is going to be blowing. And then we have the Kiddush of food afterwards. So it's a day that we can connect ourselves to God and have that one-on-one relationship that we ask Him that everything that we need He should grant us. So you know, anyone is welcome to come, and I believe God will give whatever we need.
That's good. So, Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, you too. And
happy and kosher Rosh Hashanah.
Thank you, you too. Shana Tova, and we'll talk after Rosh Hashanah.
Thank you. We'll do that.
Okay. Peace. Bye. Well. Bye-bye.